there are many reasons that one might wish to pause and reflect a bit. One is a heart attack with triple bypass surgery. Another is a dream. A dream almost mystical in nature that reaches the threshold of 5 full years of reality. With your permission, it's the second that will occupy our thoughts this morning. About 5.5 years ago, Steve Crawford, Delara Hafiz, and I sat in my kitchen and envisioned a congregation founded upon interfaith as a faith. Delara now lives in Florida and has found the commute, for some reason, just too much. But Steve is still here. Indeed, barring a revolt at our annual meeting after the service, he'll be our president next year. 5 years. 5 really good years. In 5 years, we've gathered and donated nearly 3,000 pounds of food for the Linwood Food Bank. We've walked the talk, literally, in the annual Crop Hunger Walk, where we regularly outraise churches 5, even 10 times our size in online contributions to address world hunger. Our own Rebecca Alder is coordinating monthly burrito rolls where folks get together to prepare nourishing meals for the homeless and hungry. And we've raised enough money not only to be financially solvent, a good thing, but to begin part one of an interfaith curriculum where children will be able to learn about their parents' spiritual path as well as a multitude of others with respect and without hierarchy. When completed, it will be available on our website for free for any community that wishes to make use of it. Not bad for a 5-year-old church. But more than all of this, for 5 years we have truly lived our interfaith. We have practiced interfaith as a faith, and that remains a wonderful and, frankly, remarkable accomplishment. That's what I'd like to chat about briefly today, and I do mean briefly, as I'd like to leave plenty of time for celebrating. A fair-traded chocolate walnut pie awaits us. We've practiced interfaith here for 5 years, and with really very little stress or strain. We were written up in the New York Times. I've written 2 books on interfaith as a faith. Neither has been a runaway bestseller, but people are indeed reading them. And yet, it does my humility good to remember that even now, very few people truly get what we're about. And that's something to think about this morning. How might we better communicate what we're about? There is a growing comfort with interfaith dialogue. This is a good thing, a wonderful thing. Talking is an important step in our not hating and even killing each other over our diverse spiritual paths. When we say that interfaith as a faith is different than interfaith dialogue, we are not, contrary to our cultural norm, saying that one is better than the other. But they are different. Someone I used to know was very fond of what he termed elevator speeches. "What's your elevator speech?" he would ask. How you explain whatever it is you're trying to explain in the time it takes an elevator to go from the 2nd to the 3rd floor. I'll admit, I frequently found it annoying. It's our soundbite world applied to everything. But annoyance aside, he had a point. So how do we explain what we're about? In an elevator or anywhere else? This might help. It's a conversation I had between me and myself as I struggled over the past few days to describe the essence of interfaith and to do it in the time it takes to travel one floor. What is interfaith? Interfaith teaches that there is no them, there is only us. Fine. But what is interfaith? Okay. Interfaith teaches that it is not what we believe that counts, it's what we do with our beliefs. Fine. That's what it teaches. But what is interfaith? Me was beginning to find myself more than a little annoying, but we continued. Interfaith embraces our spiritual diversity. Fine. That's what it does. But what is interfaith? Interfaith is spiritual humility. Interfaith is spiritual humility. It is a respect for our varying spiritual paths without prejudice or hierarchy. Oh. Now, I've talked with a lot of good people over the years, well-intentioned, with big hearts. And I have come to realize that spiritual humility is not only the great call of interfaith, but also the great impediment to embracing it. Humility is never easy. We talked about this more deeply at the last service. Humility is not what we are taught. Intriguingly, it's what is preached, but it is not what is taught. I bring this up because I hope many of us will help to spread the word, will speak of interfaith to others, not as the way and certainly not as the only way, but as a positive way forward. You may have noticed that the world is in desperate need of some positive ways forward, and we can help. One way we can help is by being able to communicate succinctly what we're about, the essence of it, the elevator speech. And that is, interfaith is about spiritual humility. That is the foundation of everything we have built on. That is our modestly controversial and definitely difficult foundation stone. But here we are, 5 years into the great adventure, living proof of living interfaith. Spiritual humility is not only possible, it works. Here we are, from so many differing spiritual paths, coming together to share and to learn. There are no sparks here, yet great warmth. Amidst all the diversity, such warmth, such compassion, such unity of purpose. Come, come, whoever you are, as we sing every service. And we come together, committed to each other and to a world of compassion. There is indeed much to celebrate, and I shall never tire of sharing with you what a privilege and joy it is to be a part of this truly remarkable congregation. Amen.